Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
James Fishback, gubernatorial candidate, on in the next hour. We're continuing on with the phenomenal Ukraine-Russia deep dive on NATO, about the war, about all the things that have happened to lead up to this point. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you right now, we have a new rolling sale on the alexjonesstore.com. That's the alexjonesstore.com. It's a new rolling sale, up to 40% off Ultra DNA Revival. That's like DNA Force 2.0, if you ever took that old product. Shilajit Caps and Gummies, MK Ultra, Atomic Defense, up to 35% off colostrum and life force, and up to 30% off iodine tincture, methylene blue, methylene red, creatine powder, and the entire InfoWars limited edition 1776 collection. You want to get the bag bundle, it's still available. You want to get all these things, go check out the store, thealexjonesstore.com, the place to be. Thank you very much. Tim, back to the deep dive.
Yeah, so we were talking a lot about this NATO expansion and going through the history. And so, you know, this is the playbook that kept repeating. And so throughout the 2000s, you know, something kept happening in the countries right up to Russia's doorstep. And so governments were being overthrown and replaced by pro-Western, pro-NATO leadership. And then you see these so-called color revolutions. I'm sure you've heard of that. And from Moscow's perspective, the U.S. was behind them. Let's pull up number 10, showing these color, the color revolution. Go ahead and read this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll read the highlighted part. And this is talking about Ukraine. But while the gains of the Orange Bedecked Chestnut Revolution are Ukraine's, the campaign is an American creation, a sophisticated and brilliantly conceived exercise in Western branding and mass marketing that, in four countries in 4 years, has been used to try to salvage rigged elections and topple unsavory campaigns. What's that referring to, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, this is we do this all the time. We do these regime changes, right? Because if there's somebody, not cooperating and not playing against our rules, get them out of here.
Seriously.
Take them out back.
And then they'll say, we don't do that as well. Trump came out and said the goal is not regime change. And then you have him on tape like 10 times saying,
well, we're the best at regime change. Didn't you know, Rex?
Nobody does it like us. It's true. That's very true.
So now we go into 2004 and we have this Orange Revolution. Okay. So this is a disputed election between two candidates, Viktor Yushchenko and then Viktor, I'm going to butcher his name, Yukonchevich or whatever. And so protests started to erupt, okay? And the result flipped, and a pro leader. So originally this one guy won, and then somehow they reversed it and put in a pro-Western candidate to actually win this election. And you can pull up this picture. Yeah, this is Viktor Yushchenko. And he's the new guy, the yes man, the guy who's going to follow NATO, who's going to follow the U.S. into battle. And so they also used the same playbook in Georgia called the Rose Revolution between 2003 and 2008. The United States trained Georgia's army and military. And then in 2008, Georgia attacks the south of Ossetia. And then they do a breakaway region in which it's right on Russia's border. And then Russia has to respond. OK. And then they won that battle in 5 days. And the EU does an investigation after all this happens. And they do determine that Georgia fired first and that the NATO countries and the U.S. were responsible. This is Europe doing their own investigation.
OK.
OK. So now we just see this from Moscow. This pattern is undeniable. Okay, you've got political turnover, you've got Western alignment, you've got military buildup on their borders, and then for every one of those countries is just a warm up. And we know where the real target is,
right? Right.
And it's Ukraine. And this was the one demand in the one area that has been the most sensitive for Russia specifically. Okay, Ukraine was different from all the rest because it mattered to Russia more than any other country on the map. And in 2008, the U.S. ambassador warned that Ukrainian NATO membership was the brightest of all red lines, not just for Putin, but for the entire Russian political class. And American officials knew exactly what they were doing, pushing against this narrative.
All right. I want to talk about the Ukrainian situation a little bit prior to this. You got to keep in mind, Ukraine had, I believe, the second most nuclear weapons in any of the Soviet bloc countries up against Mother Russia. Mm-hmm. Right. And when they became their own country in the post-Soviet era, post-1991, they made a deal. They said, look, we're going to declare ourselves to be totally neutral. In exchange for that, we want security guarantee from both the Russians and the West that you're not going to mess with our state. Well, that's the strongest argument for Ukrainian sovereignty and for this war and for, you know, their side of the story, their campaign. You look at that, though, and you go, well, you agreed to be neutral. Now you're hosting 36 NATO exercises. Now you're just a NATO partner.
Well, just think about it this way. We were about to go to nuclear arms, like to nuclear conflict over Cuba.
Yes.
Okay. How is that any different in a Ukraine situation?
100%. I totally agree. It's just a new Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, the Cuban Missile Crisis, they're saying they're going to put nukes down in Cuba. That's right on our border. We can't allow that. We got to go to World War III. Got to go to nuclear war. It's the same exact calculation for the Russians. And you think about the American hubris of, oh, we're more important. They don't matter. They're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm. So that's why 2014 is important, because we've heard 2022, and then a lot of people point to 2014 as another major conflict.
Right.
Let's pull up this video of the Ukraine NATO and the Maidan coup, because this is very important context.
Right.
Let's go ahead and pull up number 12 here with that video.
In 2008, the U.S. ambassador to Russia, William J. Burns, wrote to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, "Ukrainian entry into NATO is the brightest of all red lines for the Russian elite, not just Putin. In more than 2.5 years of conversations with key Russian players, from knuckle-draggers in the dark recesses of the Kremlin to Putin's sharpest liberal critics, I have yet to find anyone who views Ukraine and NATO as anything other than a direct challenge to Russian interests." American officials were fully aware that Ukraine joining NATO was something that no one in the Russian leadership could tolerate, whether they be in Putin's circle or his liberal critics. Nevertheless, in 2014, the U.S. government under Barack Obama backed the infamous Maidan Revolution in Ukraine. This revolution overthrew the Russia-friendly government of Viktor Yanukovych and replaced it with a pro-NATO government. John McCain, Victoria Nuland, and other American government officials were literally...
Cut back to me for a second. This is McCain and the congressional people, the people who are American, looking at this like it's a Coldplay concert. And they're like, ooh, this is so cool.
Right.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing that pisses me off here, okay? These people have no idea of reaction and consequence.
Yep.
And action leads to something that happens way down the line. Wake up! Wake up! These aren't jokes. You're going to cause conflicts down the line. Right. You're going to lead to hundreds of thousands of people dying. Right. And you're sitting there with your camera like it's a Coldplay concert. And I'm like... These people have no idea.
Dude, they set it up. They run it all. Victoria Nuland, John McCain, literally filming the color revolution. It's in black and white. Not even black and white. It's in Technicolor. It's in 4K, as we say today.
It just pisses me off.
Sure. Makes me mad.
They have no idea what they're doing. And we call these people the adults in the room, and they're just meddling in people's elections, and it causes chain reactions. And you just think, like, if something like that were to happen here, Rex.
Sure.
What would happen? I mean, we already were freaking out when people thought the Russia collusion was real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like to openly have, let's say, like Russian oligarchs sitting there filming, like, you know, let's say like Trump doesn't get in and like they put in another puppet head.
Yes.
People would have a riot.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 100%.
So they would
crash out. They would go crazy in the street. But you see, we're the good guys. We're the world government. So we get to go over there and play world government.
Yes.
That's we're the globalists. That's really what it is. America, the Western Empire, whatever you want to call it. That's what globalism is.
And again, there's a domino effect where you have no idea what you're going to cause down the line. And so these actions have been responsible for the decimation of cities.
Right.
Killing of people's families.
Right.
Murder of citizens who had nothing to do with these conflicts.
Absolutely.
And they had no clue what they were doing.
Sure.
They just said, this is a good idea, sir. This is the best thing since sliced bread. We just need to make sure these people follow our command, and we put a guy in there that's going to be good for the American people.
Yep. And here's the thing. You think about this. We were talking about Cuba Missile Crisis and kind of pointing out the example of the hypocrisy there. The illegal war of aggression, the evil Russians rolling in February of 2022. What are we doing in Iran then? If that's an illegal war of aggression, this has far less justification. Just giving that as an anecdote.
No, you're right. No, like let's play out the rest of the video, because you're going to see the reaction of what happens. It is massive. The implications are very real. Let's go ahead and roll the rest of that clip, please.
On the ground in Ukraine, cheering as it happened. They didn't even bother to hide their involvement. Just a week before the coup occurred, there was a leaked phone call of Victoria Nuland speaking about the Ukrainian opposition as if she controlled it. When asked about how the EU would react to all of this, she replied, "F*** the EU."
So that would be great, I think, to help glue this thing and have the UN help glue it. And, you know, f*** the EU.
No, exactly. And I think we've got to do something to make it stick together, because you can be pretty sure that if it does start to gain altitude, the Russians will be working behind the scenes to try to torpedo it.
That's how much she cared about European interests. And people listening to this in the EU area should seriously consider that. In response to this coup, the ethnic Russian regions of Ukraine, such as Donetsk, Luhansk, and Crimea, immediately rose up in rebellion against the new Ukrainian government. Kiev declared them all to be terrorists and launched what it called an anti-terrorist operation to destroy them. Russia, seeing the opportunity, gladly stepped in to back these separatists and annexed Crimea. Crimea had long been disputed between Russia and Ukraine, and this was seen by Moscow as the chance to settle the issue once and for all. A war began between the Russian-backed separatists of eastern Ukraine and the US-UK-backed government in Kiev. The New York Times reported plainly in 2024, the partnership between the CIA and Defense Intelligence of Ukraine began in late February 2014, so immediately upon the Ukrainian government changing. It was recently revealed in declassified documents that the CIA built 12 military bases on the front lines in Donbass.
Unbelievable.
So that's a war. Like, we're fighting a war against them, and then they fight back, or they try to seize territory they think is significant to their conflict, to their war, to their objectives. And we go, oh, no, you can't do that. You're not allowed to fight against us. We're allowed to build up force against you.
Well, imagine naming your own citizens who probably voted for somebody.
Right.
And then calling them terrorists because they don't agree with you doing a regime change to put somebody who didn't have your best interest in mind.
Sure.
Unbelievable. So when I look at these situations, I'm like, it's very black and white for me. It's like, we have a history of meddling our nose in other people's business. It doesn't belong. And here's the thing, Russia, it's all this Cold War stuff, because they think it's the Soviet Union still. No, Russia realized that communism and socialism didn't work. Right. That is why it collapsed on its own, with the help of the NATO countries and a lot of other countries pushing that. But they realized, our people are struggling. This isn't going to work out. And that's why you had succession after succession and countries getting out.
And we see these economies. Here's the thing. We're all mixed economies. The United States is a mixed economy. Government owns percentages of very large corporations like NVIDIA. Government basically controls a lot of things behind the scenes. The same is true in China, even more so, and in Russia, maybe to a greater or lesser extent. To say that we are the free market liberal warriors who go around the world and liberate these oppressed populations from the evil, tyrannical, fascist, communist dictator, we don't live in 1940 anymore.
Yes. Yes, no. And let's just look at the funding chart on number 13 and just see how much money we fueled.
That's what it's always about.
It's so much money, man. So much money. Hey, we can't do daycare, remember.
That's right. Daycare is too expensive.
We need moms. Let's go ahead and pull up number 13 here with the funding chart.
Wow.
Just look at how much the U.S. contributed in 2024.
Bilateral aid commitments from the top 20 donor countries and from European Union EU institutions as of December 31st, 2024, you got the United States at over like 130 billion. And then the EU is a little bit close to that, like 110, 125 billion. UK is at like 40 billion. Germany is at close to 30. And then it kind of drops off a cliff from there.
I'm sorry, how are we the biggest number here when we're the furthest away?
That's an excellent point, Tim.
Somebody make sense. Somebody make this make sense.
Well, see, you got.
I mean, Germany's right there. For
Tim, you're not a patriot. You don't think it's great that America controls and manipulates and abuses all these people around the world. Hey, we need to spend the $100 billion so we control another country thousands of miles away from you.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. We're going to air out what Biden did here. But also Trump was responsible in these circumstances, too. Okay.
Uniparty,
under Trump, the U.S. shipped lethal weapons to Ukraine for the first time. For the first time.
Obama gave you blankets. I gave you javelins.
Yes. Yes. He sent javelin anti-tank missiles, expanded training, and then he did deeper intelligence cooperation. And under his presidency, he did brag exactly what Rex just said. Okay. And then under Biden, it just went to overdrive.
Sure.
I mean, he just said, let's just crank it all the way up. And then Ukraine had been pushing for NATO membership for years. But under Biden, he was like, come on in.
Right.
You can open join us business. Over here. Open for business. And so at that point, remember, we said that this earlier, like the U.S. ambassador warned in 2008 that this was the brightest of all red lines for Russia.
Yes.
And Washington knew what this signal meant. Biden's alive during this time period, was sure. he not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's debatable. Go ahead.
I mean, he was under the Obama administration.
He was walking around.
So now you've got all of these situations play out. And as soon as we started this bid to try to get Ukraine, Russia was like, we've had enough. I mean, there's only but so much you can take. And you can sit here and call me, you're a Russian commie,
Putin loving puppet.
And it's like, no, man, I'm just looking at the facts. I'm giving it to you guys at home. As I said, you have the ability to make your own decision with this information. And this is not me being partisan. I've talked about both Trump and I have talked about Biden in the same sentence here, and they have both committed this entire situation to get off the rails, and there's no end in sight.
Yeah, they're both killers at the end of the day. Like, these people are murderers, and they're murderers of people far away and at home. And like, that's what they do, is their position is to generate more money and, as a consequence, more death. That's what the military industrial complex is. That's what it is when Larry Fink of BlackRock goes over to Ukraine with Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, yep, and meets with Zelensky, and they decide how his country is going to be divided up.
Yes.
It's all about that. It's not about helping the people on the ground. It's not about liberating them from the evil force. It's about control. It's always about control. And this is why these are very serious topics, Tim.
Very serious.
These are very serious things.
Very serious.
And they
sit in the rooms and they make the decisions.
Right.
And again, you just wait. Years from now, you start to see the implications. And you can see the same thing happening now with the Iran conflict. Okay. Not to say that Iran didn't have its military proxy groups and the terrorists. That's a real threat. Mm-hmm. But again, we're making all of these knee-jerk reactions and have no idea what's going to happen down the line. We could be gearing up for a World War III situation. It is that scary, because the whole world is now under the pressure.
Sure.
Of these economic situations that are happening now.
Well, Trump told Zelensky, you're gambling with World War III, and now it looks like we're gambling with World War III in a full and total war. You look at this. I know we got a little bit more in the deep dive. I want to make this point. The old world order of, like, you know, Biden is senile, waddling around. The old deep state people, they all wanted to get into the Cold War beef because that's where they come from. It's like we talked about in the deep dive. It's that old animus. It's that old hunger for that battle. The new faction of the deep state, the, like, Israeli Zionist faction of it, they're the new guys, and they're like war in the Middle East. It benefits you fighting China, you get to fight against the IMET corridor, you got to do this against Iran. So whether it's that first power block, the anti-Russian power block, or the second power block, the radical Zionist Iran war power block, you don't get a peace power block. There's not a group of people that are like, hey, let's make things better. It's like, oh, like, we want this war here. We're the Democrats. We want this war here. Yep. We're the Republicans. And this is the thing. People are like, I've seen people online apologize, and I've apologized for it, but in a different way. People being like, I didn't know I voted for Trump. I didn't know what I voted for. And people are like, yeah, I should have voted for Kamala. Well, Kamala won it.
No. Absolutely not.
It's all sick, and we're calling out the hypocrisy on all sides.
Well, here's the thing, Rex. The reason why I voted for Trump after being a Democrat for so long, because that was the lifestyle that I was born into. Okay, you've got 95% of blacks vote Democrat.
Sure, right.
And you're on the East Coast. Biden and Kamala and all of these things were the reason why. I'm like, we have no idea what we're doing here. We need to stop this now. Trump, save us. Yes. And he came and he gave his platform. He said, no more new wars.
Yes.
And I said, perfect. He has a better relationship with Putin than Biden would ever have.
Right.
And maybe he will end this war within 24 right. to 48 hours. But no, he's got to give him more missiles, escalate it because he's not cooperating. And Zelensky's little Zelensky's out here salivating. Yes, missiles, war, conflict.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. I like it. I like
it. So when I look at all of this, I'm just like, okay. We have a situation where I think we need to start another program outside of, you know, the foreign exchange program where I said go trade a congressional person with a military person. Yeah. I got an even better plan.
Okay, okay.
Every single person who's in Congress needs to go through history class.
Yes, yes, let's
do it. Absolutely. We're going to demand this, okay? If you are in Congress, you need to go over and you need to sit down with Tim Tompkins and do these deep dives so we can teach you on causality and all of the things that happen afterwards.
Sure. You just got to study the history of world conflict. You got to study geopolitics. You got to do your job. It's not enough to go up there. And Kamala says, well, Russia is a big country and Ukraine is a little country. And Russia is being bad and is being mean to Ukraine. So we have to go and kill millions of people and spend hundreds of billions of your money. I'm Kamala Harris. And here's the thing. Kamala, you got to study the topics. You got to do a deep dive with Tim.
Got to do a deep dive with Tim.
Right. Right.
Absolutely mandatory.
Wow.
We demand this. Okay. So, yeah, that's the end of the deep dive here. I do these because I love giving history. I love giving context. I spend a lot of time. I spend hours doing the research because I care. I care about educating people.
Sure.
And that is my ethos through and through.
Sure.
Truth is always going to prevail. I want to be on the right side of history, however the dominoes and the cards fall.
Sure. And I mean, we look at this whole Ukraine situation, and now we look at Iran, and we look at the rapid advancement in real 21st century modern warfare, modern combat. You have the FPV drones, you have the missiles and the missile defense systems, you have all sorts of trench warfare style engagements where you can't have mass groupings of troops or tanks anymore because they just get taken out by the FPVs. You've got to have like a real old style of combat backed with extreme air support and drone support. I mean, they have areas of Ukraine. I think it's like a 20-mile or 200-mile, I forget which area. I think it's 200-mile, where it's literally just FPV drones, fiber optic cable all over the ground, and no one can pass it. Because they're at an official stalemate. You know, I was wrong about this last year. I really thought the Ukrainians were going to have to make concessions at this point. I think they're still going to have to make concessions.
I just don't, it's
bloody, man.
I just don't understand how they've survived so long. And Russia's now making more money off of the oil deals, and now the Iran conflict has turned into their benefit, and they're making money off of producing drones for Iran as well. They have a lot of ways to go. They're winning this war of attrition.
And I think they're in a difficult position, but I think you also got to ascribe a little bit of a profit motivation to them as well, because war is good for business.
For business.
Doesn't matter what country you're in.
You're right.
Right? So, I mean, all these people want to talk about ending the conflict, you know, Putin, Lavrov, Medvedev, y'all have had means to end the conflict. Y'all have continued the conflict on because it makes you money.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Putin is not the best man in the world. He's actually murdered people. He's taken
it's like
out
all the world leaders.
Yeah,
a lot of the world leaders
have issues on their own, okay? This isn't me trying to be the Putin puppet. It's really just – it's people need to get along. People need to do the right thing. People need to get over the ego and actually make things happen.
They got to live in reality, and that's what the American Journal is about. That's what Gray Area is about. Let's go ahead and throw up our Twitter really quick if you can. I want you guys to know we do a Thursday and Sunday show. It's a 2 to 3 hour. We really look forward to Sundays. We always have a marquee guest. We always have a phenomenal deep dive. This is actually one of the deep dives we've done before on the Gray Area, but reloaded for mass presentation. We wanted you guys to see it because it's just one great example of the phenomenal information we give you every Sunday. You're going to want to go to Gray Area Talks on X and check us out there, and Truism Tim as well. Give me a follow.
If you guys really do like the value that I'm giving, the simple way you can support is just giving me a follow. I really do appreciate it. I respond to DMs. I see comments. I'm trying to be engaged. Yep. I like to interact with people, and I would be curious to see what you guys think about these deep dives. So we're about to have Fish back on very shortly. You guys aren't going to go anywhere. We got a lot of questions to ask him. He's making a lot of headlines these days, is he?
I'm looking forward to it. He's a spicy guy. He's a fun guy. Maybe he's going to win. We're going to have Fish back on starting next hour.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, become a subscriber, and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.